The question was asked about mixed study groups, men and women. 10 years ago, I came to learn in Israel. And just before I left, there was a guy who I was learning with, and came from a home where his mother had just moved in with a non-Jewish man, and there wasn't she just took him out of a Jewish school and put him in a public school. So this guy didn't seem like he was headed to remaining Orthodox. It didn't seem the path he was on. And there was one thing which I thought we could do that would help him stay Jewish, and that was to get him involved in NCSY or Bnei Akiva, some co-ed youth group which he'd attend, and this would hold on to him. But my question was, NCSY is OU. My question was, do you tell a guy to attend some events that are co-ed, and the guy, we don't know where things will end up. I mean, going with a girl can be a biblical prohibition. So I went to a rabbi, I don't want to say in which yeshiva, but one of the top yeshivas, the Tilumi yeshivas, and I asked him, what does he think? What should I tell the guy? Should I help the guy from here, set him up with NCSY there? So he said to me, look around you. You see all these guys here? Well, 99% of them only ended up in yeshiva because they're part of Co-ed Bnei Akiva. If not for Bnei Akiva and Co-ed Bnei Akiva, they wouldn't be here learning Torah today. So ideally, that's not the way we want things to look. But sometimes there are scenarios where we say, if we don't do it this way, they're not going to come. So before we deal with the question again, just like the previous question, before we deal with the question on an empirical level, what's right and what's wrong, we also have to deal on a practical level. We have a situation today where throughout the United States and throughout Canada, we have an intermarriage rate that's sky high. And we have Jews who know nothing about their tradition. They're going to college and they're meeting non-Jewish girls. They're learning about everything but Judaism. And we have a situation where if we're going to present them with an alternative to going to the bar with a non-Jewish girl, and within that alternative we'll teach them about Judaism, then there's a good chance they'll learn about Judaism and they'll end up marrying a Jewish girl. Guys know that I always say, if you're going back to the United States or to any other country and you're going to college, choose a college that there are Jewish girls there. Guys always laugh. I say, no, it's not funny. It's real. It's practical. You're going to spend the next 4 years of your life in a college. There better be Jewish girls there. Before you check everything else out about a college, check out if they have Jewish girls. So it sounds funny, but we have to be practical. I'll get to the study groups.
Yes, I was talking about religious study groups.
We'll get there. But I just want to first deal with this aspect.
Not about secular study.
So I'm talking about religious study. When Rav Getz, who was the rabbi of the Kotel, came to South America, and he wanted to make a study group for the kids. He came, he was going to be rabbi there. So they made a study group, they agreed, they get together in the afternoon, they come to learn Torah. So he comes the first day, all the parents bring their kids. Very nice. They learn a little bit, and after a week, no one shows up. So again, he tries to rile them up. He tells them, guys, you got to come. We're going to learn. We're going to have a good time. And no one shows up. So finally, he sees it's not working. So he makes a meeting. He calls in all the kids of the neighborhood, and he tells them, guys, tell me, what do you guys want to do? So they said, we want to play soccer. So he said, fine. Tomorrow, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we meet here. I'm bringing a ball. I'm bringing cones. We're playing soccer. So what do you think? Next day, everyone shows up. He shows up in shorts. That's the rabbi, you guys, I don't know if you saw his picture, of the big bekesh and a long white beard. He was the rabbi of the Kotel for many, many years. But before that, he was a rabbi in South America. And he shows up that day, and he brings cones and a soccer ball, and for a half hour, they're playing soccer. Now they need a break. They're tired. They played for a half hour. So he said, okay, now you guys sit down, and now we're going to start learning a little bit. I can tell you a little bit about what it says in the Torah. I can tell you a little bit about what it says in the Navi, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Allah, and then we'll go back to soccer. And that's how slowly but surely he taught them. Sometimes we have to work with the crowd we're working with. We don't have a choice. So before we discuss mixed co-ed study groups on an empirical level, what the Allah expects of us, We have to recognize that sometimes there are situations where we cannot do that. If we'll do that, then these people are gone. Now, these are questions whenever we're going to make compromises in halacha for the sake of something succeeding, these decisions have to be made by the greatest leaders. If we start making these compromises, then we'll end up without Judaism. That's where conservative and reform went off. That's what this rabbi was telling the guy from here. He started saying, well, we knew if we don't make this compromise, and that compromise, and other compromise, things won't work. Well, you know what? Sometimes we do such things, but only the greatest rabbis can call such shots. That's not something which the average rabbi can decide. Those are big questions. When and how do we make which compromises? And those are questions which only the leaders of the generation can make those decisions. And the organizations that do it right are guided by them.
So when are you going
to
come to
this? Now, in general, if we're going to have a study group, so the proper way, if we're going to have men and women, is to have women on one side and men on the other side. I didn't say that. You said that. Okay. There can be situations where people are sitting husband next to his wife, who's next to the wife of the next guy, who's sitting next to the husband. There can be situations like that. Even in Simchas, it used to be that the dinners that even Agudah made, that was the way the seating was. You had a husband next to his wife, who was next to the next guy's wife, who was next to her husband, etc., all around the table. So a man isn't sitting next to a woman who isn't his wife, and a woman isn't sitting next to a man who isn't her husband, but you do have men and women sitting at the same table. When we're having study sessions, so usually it's more appropriate to have men and women separate. And if again, the rabbi has to call the shot as to why he's going to do it, if he's going to do it differently, so assuming he's Orthodox, so maybe it's a setting like NCSY and you weren't aware of it, or maybe there was some other reason why it had to be that way. I don't know. Usually, the way we try to do it is to have it separately, that the men are on one side and the women are on another side. I don't think there's any need for a mechitza for numerous reasons, but we won't go into that now. But if you want, when you give a lecture, you put up a mechitza, however you want. Over here at Machon Mir, it's a little bit different. You have a class with 15 guys, and you can have one girl sitting at the side of the room. There it's right to have a mechitza. But if you have a shul, where you have the women sitting on one side of the shul and the men sitting on the other side of the shul, I've been at shuls where Orthodox rabbis who were bigger than I am, and they did it that way, so I guess it's okay. As far as sitting together, I think it's better not. But again, the rabbi has to see why. If he did it differently, then we'd have to wonder why. You're saying there was a situation where he did it differently. I don't know why. I don't know. It could be that there were other things at play. I mean, today, Agudah has an organization in the United States that's pushing for people to invite young men and young women to sit at the same table at the Shabbos table, because they're recognizing that they're having tens of thousands of bachelors that are getting older each year and they're not getting married. So Agudah, this isn't a movement by Young Israel. Agudah's movement, I don't remember what it's called, is pushing and asking people to invite young men and young women to sit at the same table, to have three young men and three young women over for Friday night or Shabbos day, so that they can meet, and hopefully some shidduchim are going to come out of it.
La from first sight, there was a show in Russia.
I don't hear the echoes of the Sanhedrin.
I didn't understand.
I don't hear the halacha, if any. You talk about rabbis and how they interact.
Didn't follow what you're saying.
Perhaps there are.
It will depend on the situation. It's preferable to do it this way. If there are pressing circumstances, there will be times where it's okay to do it the other way. It's not a yes or no question. It's in general the right way is to do it the other way, but there can be scenarios where it would be permitted to do it the way they did it. That's why I began with the exception.
I'm not going to take you up the time.
No. If you're giving a class, let's work differently. Let's say we're giving a class, right? What's the proper way to do it? The proper way to do it is to have men on one side and women on the other side. There should be a separation. But again, if there were pressing needs, then could be done differently. One also has to gauge the crowd. Meaning there's a difference between...
I guess there are markets for rabbis also.
What?
The market is for the market in Torah study. So you have to... A rabbi has to face kind of a market.
Also. It's not an issue of marketing.
I have to go to bed.
So...
Thank you.